This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Every Friday morning, we spend a little time talking about what's going on with District 61, and we welcome Dr. Paul Frigo to the program. Paul, a lot of things are going to be happening over the next couple of weeks. Next week, you're expected to make an announcement about what happens moving forward. Before we get to that, just talk to me about the process of what you guys have been doing to sort of get to the arrival to this conclusion.
Sure. Well, we have continued to meet with a large group of people from all facets of the organization to try to have all our protocols and plans down to the final details as far as what we would do if we came back to in-person learning in some form. We're getting really close on that. We're developing some metrics to monitor if we stay to some version of in-person or go back to virtual. And then the last but not least, we have started surveying our parents and asking them, if we came back to in-person, what choice would you make for your child? And so it's vital that our parents provide us that feedback through Skyward on the survey so we can plan accordingly.
Hang on one second. How are you surveying them?
We're asking. We sent out information to them, asking them to get in Skyward and fill out whether or not they would choose to come back to in-person learning at various times throughout the year.
All right. And is there a digital divide there for a lot of parents? I mean, are you able to? I don't know what your ratio of people responding is. But are you getting to everyone?
Well, that's what I wanted to talk about. We've only gotten 1,600 responses back. So we're working on re-reaching out and other means of obtaining this information because. At this point, it's a very minimal response from our parents in regards to what their choices would be.
All right. And how many families make up the 8,700 kids in your district?
I would say, that's a good question, Brian. Of the 1,500 that we've gotten back for 1,500 kids, it represents 950 families.
Okay, so, I'm just curious because you got multiple kids and families, the math was. All right, and so you're expected to announce what happens in the second half of the second quarter next week. When will that announcement be made?
Friday of next week, the 30th.
Okay, and how do you? I get that you want parents' input. I appreciate that. We filled out our thing a couple of weeks ago, so we were one of the 1,600 respondents. But parents aren't medical experts and they're not logistical experts. Ultimately what's going to weigh in on this decision? I mean, how are you guys going to be, arriving at your decision based on the input from parents, the input on experts, the logistics, what carries the most weight?
All those things you mentioned, we're also monitoring, IDPH has, 4 metrics to monitor as far as, school determination of community spread, and there's 4 different criteria they look at, and so we're monitoring those things as well. And those are the test positivity, the new cases per 100,000, total new cases, and youth case increase. So we'll be looking monitoring that data as well.
All right, let me ask you about our conversation last week. Has there been any movement on these disciplinary procedures and what was being perceived, real or not, by these teachers who were involved? What kind of conversations have happened over the last week?
Those meetings have been held, and information's been gathered, and we are working on a plan moving forward to better have grades posted and clear communication. We're revamping the handbook in regards to grading to update it and make sure everybody's got the correct information moving forward. As far as the individual outcomes, Brian, I do not know the individual outcomes of each conversation.
All right, but I remember talking early on about everyone having a little grace. I think that literally, the bureaucracy's got to have some grace too.
I thought that point was well taken, Brian, that when you said that Friday, I think, after I got off the air. And yes, that's the message I carried forward on this situation.
Look, that's all we can expect of each other, right? This is going to be imperfect for sure.
Right.
But you've got to be able to correct course and pivot. That's the way our lives are working right now. I talked to our 16-year-old last night, just asked him, how's school going? He said, it's funny because he's 16 and his digital world has always been his life. He goes, yeah, the teachers are coming around. Yeah. And he meant that in a very positive way. But, I mean, people are getting into a groove. Do you worry about messing up that groove? I realize there's kids that have a digital divide and a disconnect, and I am not discounting that. But are you worried about stop, start, as we've seen some other school districts that have gone back to in-class learning, meaning that, okay, everything's going great until it's not going great, and then we're going to be temporarily out for 2 weeks and then back and then out. How important is consistency?
That is very important. That's one of the factors when we talk about this. And the other piece is a model that allows us to progress through the curriculum. As we're looking at certain models, if we do A days, B days repeated throughout the week, it's going to limit our abilities to progress through the curriculum. So we're looking at options that will allow us to continue progress, yet still serve all kids, whether they choose remote learning or virtual learning or in person. So as you really look at all the models and start to really get down to the details, it gets extremely complicated. You want to make the best choice for our kids, but also that our staff can lead and instruct in a productive fashion and not be overwhelmed as well.
Okay. And then how are the teachers and their representatives, are they involved in these conversations? Do they feel empowered and do they feel like they're at the table helping to make those decisions?
Yes, they are in those decisions. The last meeting was held at 11 o'clock yesterday. There were some conversations about models. But we're also meeting with them periodically during the week when issues arise. We have people not understanding what self-certification means and what the process involved in that. And our approach, as you mentioned earlier, is just try to have a sense of grace. Let's work together and figure out, because we're all learning about this and what all the different things involve. And the guidance changes periodically. You know, they're talked about, it used to be 15 minutes. Together in one time. Now they're talking about 15 minutes total. It could be three different 5-minute exposures. So how does that look and how do you monitor that?
Yeah, and that's different than like most places, but it would certainly apply to schools. I know they're having a problem with that with prisons and other places where, a correctional guard might have a 5-minute exposure to four different, prisoners. The same way, teachers coming in and out of classrooms, kids coming in and out of classrooms. It's very complex. There's no easy answer. I do not envy you in this decision-making process, but you'll be able to talk to us about this next Friday.
Yes, we should have something ready to roll next Friday. And that prison example that you mentioned, Brian, when you read that case, everybody's masked and doing the appropriate thing in that example. And when they traced it back, and it's still, the 5-minute exposures over 3-4 different times, COVID was still transmitted. So, yes, more and more information becomes available. It gets more and more complicated.
All right, Paul, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. We're looking forward to hearing what you guys come up with. Paul Frigo, Dr. Paul Frigo, the superintendent of District 61. One of the great things about this, there's a lot of tough conversations. And you're not going to make people happy. I mean, there are people who just want every kid back in class, right? There are people that went, oh, no way, want my kid. And then there's a lot of people in between. But what District 61 has that other school districts, they have 8,700 kids. And with those 8,700 kids comes four times the staff, four times. It's just a mathematical nightmare.
It's unbelievable. And it's not 8,700 small bubbles. I mean, there's so much shared experiences, so much shared resources and cross-pollination between different buildings. It is so complex. Public transportation.
Everything. Yeah. Everything. All right. But there's also still a lot of great things that are going on. One of the great things we do on this DPS highlight every week, and thanks to the folks at Tate and Lyle, is we get to talk to people like Kathy Ganley, who joins us, who's heading up art teaching at Johns Hill Magnet School. Our guy had such a great experience at Johns Hill, and I'm so excited. I drive down Jasper just to sort of see the progress of what's going on with the build, but there is a special sort of culture in that building. Am I right?
Well, I would like to say so. Certainly, we have a whole arts integration focus as a magnet school, and that brings an element to it. We have a strong, long-established English second language program with students representing about 20 different countries of origin. So there's just a tremendous amount of great, diverse energy when everyone is at the building and certainly doing the best that everyone can to learn remotely.
Yeah, and it's great because it was like one of the oldest sort of bricks and mortar buildings, and now you got all this new construction underway. How are your art students working with BLDD? Tell me about this. It sounds cool.
Well, it's been really exciting. So the last couple of weeks, I've been teaching in a whole unit on architecture. We've learned about Frank Lloyd Wright. We've learned about perspective and art elements, principles that go into it. And the lead designer at BLDD who designed the new Johns Hill building, Todd Cerulik, was gracious enough to accept my invitation, come on into our Google Meet with my middle school art classes. Spend a tremendous amount of time answering their questions, talking about the process of architecture, all of the art elements, colors, light, form, texture that goes into designing a building. Some of the students actually got to sit in on the focus group when we were in school last spring and got to see some of their ideas and him talk through how their input actually played into some of the decision making. So at the same time, I share my camera out the back south window, and they're watching that construction week to week. We also have a student in sixth grade who's doing an update week to week. Isabella Springer, she's doing a fantastic job, and she's creating a report, and all of the students are then seeing that shared as the building is going up.
That's pretty cool. And, you know, how tough is it right now to be a teacher?
You know, it is like having landed on Mars, having to recreate, I can't speak for everyone, but certainly in the art world, having to recreate our approach and really figure out, hopefully, innovative ideas to tap into engaging students, which is challenging for them to be staring at a screen and not feeling the energy that's in a room and the energy that a teacher, you know, shares with students when you're in person. That's, to me, the biggest challenge. Just, you know what it's like staring at Zoom meetings. It's when you're a child, especially, you want a regular schedule and you want personal interaction and encouragement. So a lot of that is still being provided, and it is getting a little more routine. I liked your comment earlier with Dr. Frigo about is it risky to interrupt the flow, even though the flow is very strained right now. It is getting a little bit better, but there's certainly no replacement for being person to person.
Well, listen, keep up the great work. I know it's a tough job for all of you guys right now, and we appreciate it. Kathy Balamos-Ganlieb, the art teacher at they do that great art show thing that they do with the Arts Council. You go look at the kids' work, and it's just amazing. Like, in a world where we used to go to the art gallery.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.